Come on, let's worship the Lord with them together right now. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord today? Has he really been good to you? Are you absolutely sure he's been good to you? Hallelujah. I told the family prayer group last night, I met a man yesterday, and this man and I have known one another for 2 or 3 years, and we've not been friends. We have something that is very geographically close together, and we see one another, and I speak and he speaks, but I have heard that he is a very hard man, very, very hard, and I don't accept that. I just act like nothing's wrong, and I'm just going to be myself anyhow, and so things have kind of gotten a little bit, pull it too, Jared, so things have gotten a little better along the way. And yesterday I went to see him for the first time, and nobody was on his farm, but just he and I on the whole place, come out in the yard and stood there and talked to me for a while. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God began to move on the conversation that he and I were talking. And this man broke down and began to weep and tell me about how God had blessed his life and how the Lord had turned his life around and how hard he had been, and he was just very impatient with people and had a hard attitude. And while he was standing there, he said, "Preacher," he said, "I want to tell you something." He said, "I've never told anybody this, and I just feel like saying it." He said, "A few years ago," and here stands a man now. He's of another faith, and he doesn't know one thing about receiving the Holy Ghost. Doesn't know anything about... pull it hard too. Can you do that? You got muscles big enough for that? Bang it. No, don't pull it like that. Bang it. There you go. Praise God. We can only stand one service at a time. So anyhow, we were standing there and he said, "I've never..." Don't you leave that door cracked. Pull that door hard. Bang it. There you go. You got it on the end of the conversation. So, anyhow, he was standing there, and he said years ago, he said, "When I went to church," he said, "my wife and I did not believe in tithing." And he said, "When I went to church, I'd give $5, maybe $10," and he said, "that was all there was." And he said, "Finally," he said, "my wife and I decided we were going to tithe and give our tithe to God." And he said, "I don't know how you feel, preacher," he said, "but I'm telling you," he said, "10% of everything that I make belongs to God, then I give God an offering above that." I said, "That's the way we believe that." And he said, "I believe it was something like 15 or 20 years ago," he said, "we started giving God 10%. And he said, "we were living from check to check. And if I missed one day of work, we were in trouble. But," he said, "we gave God a tenth." So they started a farm. They have chicken farm and cows and things. And he said, "we gave that tithe and God blessed us." And he said, "now," he said, "a few weeks ago, we gave God a raise." I never heard that before. He said, "we started paying 15% tithe and then giving our offering." And he said, "I can't even tell you what I've got since then." And he's bawling and tears are running down his face, and his embarrassment is gone. Humility has taken over. And I thought, oh, what a testimony. I'm going to tell you something. When you ever discover discovering the revelation of one God, spirit baptism, talking in tongues, and these things are wonderful revelations. Revelation of holiness is a wonderful revelation. But one of the greatest revelations you'll ever get is in giving. Hallelujah. I don't know how I'd even say all this, but I'm telling you, it was a wonderful testimony the way God had blessed him. So I want the ensemble to help me sing another song just before Brother Winslow comes to preach today. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Let's sing with him.
You
like this, anything is possible. God can do anything where there is an attitude to let God do it. Amen. Our attitudes always have everything to do with our altitude. How high we go in God and life is not always bound by just the physical things or by what we have laying before us an opportunity. God has a way of making opportunities appear out of nowhere. And many a person in the Bible was rejected or deemed born in the wrong time or family, and yet God gave them opportunities. And I am a living example of that. I should not be given the opportunity to do what I'm doing today, but God gave me another opportunity, another chance to do His will. And I've been working on my attitude ever since 96. I've really tried to be very careful with my attitude, and it gets out of hand at times, and I have to do some repenting. Praise the Lord. I was yesterday at the mall, and you get used to dealing with devils all the time, and you have to be able to differentiate between people and devils, spirits and people. Yeah, that's right. And if you're not careful, you'll get laxed. And you'll rebuke a human spirit. A human spirit is not to be rebuked. You cannot rebuke a human spirit. I'm not saying that you're not to rebuke someone out of order, but you're to teach the human spirit. The Lord spoke to me and said, there are only three spirits in the world today. There's the spirit of the enemy, the devil, and his angels. That's one spirit. There's the human spirit. And then there is the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. And the Lord said, the demonic spirit, you rebuke every time. You can't teach a devil anything. He's a devil, and he has fallen. He had his chance. He missed it. It's over. He is not like you and I. We are given another chance if by the mercy and the grace of God, God gives it to us. Because we can't save ourselves out of our own attitudes and our own situations. The Lord has to see something and has to have a purpose, or someone else has to pray for us. This is why it's so important in marriages to not make someone too mad at you. For they may quit praying for you. If you've got someone that prays for you in your marriage relationship, you better every now and then try to get past your human spirit and award them for that. Say, honey, this is just because you pray for me, for no other reason. It's not your birthday, it's not your anniversary, but this is because you pray for me. And tomorrow I will be mad again, and I will tell you not to pray for me, but don't listen to me. When I say I don't want any of that church stuff, don't stop praying for me. Keep praying. Ignore that request. And of course, later on, when you tell that person, I'm ignoring that request. No, I didn't mean it then. It's quite confusing, isn't it? But when someone's praying for you, it's a powerful thing. It can do great things. There is a little woman right now this morning. Well, probably not at this hour right now, but maybe so. In California, it's 8:45. There is a little woman in a place outside of Modesto, California, that rises every morning and prays for me. I didn't ask for her to do that. And one day, I preached a revival there, a couple of revivals. And the pastor said, called the sister by name and said, do you know she prays for you every day? And I said, I do not know it, but I know it. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, the results of her prayers are very obvious. They're everywhere in my life. And there's probably more than just her praying for me, but yes, I know it, but I didn't know she was praying for me. Said she prayed one morning. She got up. She was praying for you for quite a while. The Lord spoke to her and said, you're to pray for Brother Winslow every day. Well, isn't it great to know I really need it? And that can humble you. I'm really praying for you. Praise the Lord. And you walk away, and of course, you start wondering, well, what is it about me that's so bad that they have to keep praying for me? Well, don't, you know, this thing can really get out of hand. And but she prays every morning, and one day she was praying, and she said, Lord, I wish I had a picture of Brother Winslow. That'll really make you pray. You look upon this thing. And she said, I wish I had a picture to visualize this prayer more and to pray for Brother Winslow. You've called me to do this, and I'm doing this. This woman, if you saw her, you would think very little of her. And you would not think much of her. She doesn't take over services. She's not using prophecy. She doesn't lay hands on anybody. But she does her part in the church, and she prays for me. And that means that a certain portion of everything that I do, she gets credit for. For the Bible tells us that when the talents were given, and one talent was given to one woman, the Lord said to this person, or to this individual, said, where is thine talent? I hid it in the ground, Lord. All I had was one. I feared to lose it, and so I hid it. And the Lord rebuked this person and said, you should have at least taken your talent to those in usury. And those are like bankers or people that invest. In other words, if you can't do it, invest what you are in someone that can, and help them to be able to do it, and you'll get a reward for it. And that's what she's doing. She's praying for the work of God and the moving of God right here this morning. She has put her prayer in on this service, and whatever happens, she's going to get back a reward for that. Not because she's able to walk in the Spirit, so to speak, or operate in gifts, or pray for the sick, or preach the gospel, but she has aligned herself with the Spirit of God, and she's going to reap great rewards because of her faithfulness. Oh, where there's a desire, you'll find a way.
When you really want to serve God, you'll find a way to serve God. When you want to live for Him, you'll find a way to live for Him. Us human beings, when we want to do something, we'll find a way to do it.
That's why I married my wife. She is a feisty little woman. And she's very quiet, but she's real feisty. And she says, "Don't worry, I'll find a way. Can I have this dress?" "No, honey, we can't afford it. You cannot have it." "I'll find a way." Of course, she saves on food and doesn't cook for a while. Guess what? It's time to go to town and buy that dress and get back to eating again. And she's finding a way. But today is a great day, and the Lord is here, and God is going to do some great things in this unique little service here. Many have gone in different directions, and we're stuck here in the auditorium. And there are moves of God all around us, and God is working, and people are exercising their ministry this morning. It is just as much important that all these ministries exist around us, and that they perform every day or every given time that they're supposed to, not only for the ones that are receiving, but it is good for those who are giving, those who are teaching, those who are helping, those who are ministering in the Spirit. If you are not in this church and have found some type of ministry, you're suffering. You're fighting things. If you're always in an up and down mode, I promise you, it is because you are not ministering of what you are and what you have. Everybody in the house of God has a ministry. And you must find that ministry. Now today the Lord has spoke to me about someone in this service. Or maybe they're not here now. They may be out of this service. But they spoke to me this morning about someone of whom a seed was planted a few days ago. And I even asked this person a question about what they're doing with their ministry. And of course, now remember this, we have got to get out of it. We have really bent and twisted the things of God around. And if by now you have not learned that you cannot follow the professional Pentecostal ways, they are not scriptural. For example, and I am not saying, I know what proselyting is. I know what the word is, what it means in the term of the 21st century, of where we are now. It means when someone is after somebody else's saints. But the word, the term proselyte, was not that kind of word in the Bible. In the Bible, it was a term for someone that was outside of God, in which someone went to them, and they were not supposed to even be in the kingdom of God. They were not even born to be in there, but they went outside, and they brought them in to the teaching of God and proselyted them from a disbelief or a wrong belief into the right belief. The Ethiopian eunuch was a proselyte Jew. He was a black man that was proselyted or taught and brought in a Gentile, brought into the Jewish belief, and he was on his way back from worshiping God at the festivities, unable to go in the holy place or the inner courts, but had an outer court of the Gentile court where they were permitted to go and to worship God and to be around where the presence of God is, but not in the presence of God, but they were proselyted. And so there are many terms that are used today that confuses the angels of God, because they say, "God, you say one thing, and these Pentecostals say something else." The Lord says, "Remember, believe me and don't believe them." I'm glad there are things about Pentecost I don't believe. I was told that if a backslider came back to God, he could never have what he had before. I was told that. And that was a big belief. Another thing they was told is that when you come back, it will take a long time to be restored. That is in the hands of God, whether it's quickly or a day or 10 days or a year. That's up to God. If he wants to restore us, he can restore us. And there are certain little things and quirks that we have that are so contrary. My wife is, believe it or not, she is attending a church where women cannot minister in the Spirit. My poor wife, she's working undercover. And she's been very careful what she does. And she laid hands on a woman, thought she would just slip by, you know, the preacher wasn't looking. And she laid hands on this woman. The Lord spoke to her and said, "Lay hands on this woman. She's under duress." And she needs a touch from me. And so my wife looked around, she said, and there was no one looking but the Lord. And of course, you can't always hear or see the sizzle of the dynamite until it goes kapow. And then all of a sudden, everybody can see that was a stick of dynamite just went off. But cannot always see the fuse or hear the fuse. The fuse is quieter than the impact. She laid hands and thought she would slip away, but when she laid hands on this woman, she began to pop her neck and jerk backwards and stood up and jerked all the way across the church, hit the wall, and fell on the floor out. And the pastor came up to my wife and looked at her and looked at the woman. My wife said my face was totally blood red. And said, uh-oh, I'm exposed. She said, in my most humble demeanor, I looked upon this man of God and scrunched down as low as I could get with humility and humbleness. I said, oh, you better be glad I wasn't there. I'd stood up for you. I'd got in front of between you and the man of God and said, don't you touch my wife. I'll whoop you right now. Jesus' name. Get off of her. And she said, yeah, but you wasn't here. Said he looked at me and he looked at the woman and he said, do you think she's all right? And my wife said, oh my God, she's fine. But she hit her head pretty hard on the wall. Yes, that's right. He stood there a few minutes and waited. And when she came to herself and he said, are you okay? She says, I don't know. He said, what do you mean you don't know? She said, I don't know. Where am I? Well, you're in the house of God, the church. Oh, that's right. Somebody prayed for me. Yes, it was Sister Winslow. Is your head all right? She said, oh, I guess it is. You don't have a knot on your head? I don't know yet. Did you hit the wall? I think I did. I'm not sure if I did. Do you feel all right? I feel really, really good. So we find ourselves in situations where in Pentecost, where, you know, there are, not everybody believes that God can speak, and not everybody believes in real Holy Ghost worship, and not everybody believes that you can do this or do that, and there's so many vast beliefs. And yet, when we focus on the Lord and get our minds on God, it is proven. I was preaching in a, supposed to be in a dedication service, and there were many people there from all different areas, people from the city, and there were some of the Pentecostal officials there. And some of them, I understand, I know what, that was, some of them were very well up in years, and they went through the Latter Day Rain movement and some of the false things that happened in Pentecost many, many years ago. And I know they have hang-ups, but that's why we're supposed to have God. How can one preacher who comes through a generational problem get in a pulpit and keep that problem in his heart the rest of his life and ban God from moving and get up in a pulpit and tell sinners that God can help them overcome their past? I have no mercy for these people. I have no mercies for old people that want to hold on to things that have long been wrong and dead and gone, and we're into a new thing here. And we need to change and let God help us. And we can't hold these things forever. Now, how can we minister to others and tell them, come in here, get over this? You went through a marital split, you went through a divorce, you went through a sickness, you were done wrong, you were lied on, all these things, and we tell them that God can help you and help you overcome it, but we drag these things into our pulpits and our ministries that that limit God. Now, I'm here today to work on myself. I'm here to examine myself and see if I'm in the faith. I'm here to work on my attitude and to work on where I'm at. I told my wife, she said, what must I do? Said he had a talk with me and said, now look, I'm not really into these women being used of God. And she said, what do I do, Brother Winslow? I said, well, be used of God, but do it as humbly as possible, as quietly as possible. She said, I tried to be quiet, but God is loud. I said, well, that's a problem you're going to have to work on. I don't know what to tell you to do. I said, but just keep trying to obey God. Don't stop obeying God. And please, don't ever be offended. Because you're working with people that are human. And the human spirit is to be taught. You rebuke the devil. And the human spirit, you teach. And the spirit of God, you obey. We get so confused in Pentecost. And we're disobeying God, obeying the devil, and rebuking human spirits. No wonder our people are so confused. They don't know if they're a devil or a saint or a sinner or what they are. They have no idea. Identity crisis. And we have sinners that come to church and they get caught up in the crossfire and they don't even know what's going on. We need to remember that we must obey the Spirit of God. If you make that pact with God, Lord, if I do it ignorantly, well, I'll try to learn better. But I'm going to try to obey you, God, the rest of my life and be pleasing unto you. Now, this has been my number one goal in my life. And I am as much in the will of God as I possibly can even imagine that I am. The Lord even spoke to me this morning and gave me something this morning, not for here, but gave me something for another place and another time. And I'm going to obey it. I wasn't going to obey this. This was a decision I had made a few days ago that I wasn't going to do this. And I had no revelation. But this morning the revelation has come. I've accepted it this morning. I'm going to do God's will. I am presently, as much as I know, in the will of God. How about you? If you cannot find what is the will of God in your spirit and mind and go to rest with God, then you're in turmoil and in confusion. God is going to touch this service today, and there is going to be a release of confusion that the enemy has put on us. The will of God is not complex, and it's not hard. It's the devil that will lie to you and make it seem hard. Well, if I go to that church, everybody in that church is going to do this. And if I go there, they're going to expect this of me. And yet we don't expect anything of anyone. No one comes to this church and all of a sudden we're going to expect them to become great members of this church immediately. No, we want God to touch their lives and fill them and bless them. And the devil will lie to you. We ministered Friday night in the youth service for a small portion of time. And there was someone who got something from God. This platform, and the devil began to lie to me this morning. And he began to tell me, as I looked upon this person, the devil spoke so clearly to me and said, they didn't get what you said they were to get. They didn't get it. It's not going to happen. You might as well quit having faith. It's not going to work. So I just waited till they got off the platform. I said, I'll march right up to them, devil, and I'll ask them. I'll fix you. I'll find out what's going on here. And so I busted in the class, and I looked at the girl, and I said, we prayed for you Friday night by revelation, this. I said, did you get it? She said, absolutely. I said, that's just what I thought. No need to let the devil have any time with you. Confirm what God wants. Go to God with it. Let him confirm his will in your life. Stand strong on it, and don't be moved. Hallelujah. Now, the importance of me going to her was the importance of me stepping out here this morning. That's the devil was not after her because she's already got her miracle. And he wasn't really after me because I'm hard-headed. I'll pray again anyway. I don't care how many times I fail. I'm going to do it again. If I pray today and I don't feel anything, guess what? I'm praying again. If I come to church this morning and I falter and I fail and I flub the dub and I drop the watermelon and I can't preach my way out of a wet paper bag today and I can't find anything in God to do or to find to pray for, I'm not going to surrender. I'm not going to give up. I'm just going to come again. If God sets me on somebody and tells me there are three people in this church that every time I come in the pulpit, you're as big as a house in front of me. See, that's what happens when the Lord's ready to do something for somebody. They get bigger. Some people I can't even see. Hey, Brother Winslow, I was there the other night. Did you see me? No, I didn't see you. Well, I sit in the front pew, but I didn't see you. But there was somebody in the back that was getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. It's kind of like preachers tell me now. I don't know this because I try not to preach to what I see, but what God shows me. Some preachers, somebody gets mad at them, and guess what? Every sermon is right at them. That's all they see in the church. All the good folks don't get fed. They just jump on that one old person that's just mean and ornery and talking about them. At one church I pastored, a man walked up to me on my first day there, and he said, I just want you to know I'm watching everything you do. Don't make a mistake. Me, in my dumb way, I just looked there and just smiled. After I got home, I said, man, I should have grabbed him by the nape of the neck. Why did I let him get away from me? How dare him get in front of my face like that? And God said, don't worry. I let him be there for a reason. I said, oh, yes, I can see now. I'll be doing a lot of praying here. So our critics are not someone we want to destroy or get rid of. We appreciate the criticism. I welcome the criticism. I am grateful for those who are talking about me and criticizing me and finding fault with the moving of the Holy Ghost, because that means God's going to have to take up for me. How many want God to take up for you? Praise God. We have a big brother, and he's real big and tough, and he's never lost a fight. And he's coming to the rescue of this service today in this church. So all of that was to stop and toward me from praying for somebody this morning. The whole scheme of things this morning to create doubt in my mind was to stop me from praying for somebody here this morning and operating in the Holy Ghost here today, and which we're going to do in just a few moments. We must get a desire in our hearts for truth. If we are truly the preachers that we say we are, we're not afraid of the truth. We're not afraid of it. And we're like Elijah. We're not afraid to put our God to the test and stand true. One man came, made accusation against me, and I said, all right, we'll just find out. Let's go to God. And whoever really is telling the truth, let God reveal it. Wait a minute, he said. That's not fair. I said, what do you mean? He said, no, that's not fair. You're praying God on your side. See, he already confessed his lies. I turned to the men that were there and I said, do you need any more revelation or have you got it already? They said, what are you talking about? I said, sir, would you step out? He stepped out. I said, do you see what he said? It's not unfair. It's like the two women with the baby. And Solomon says, let me just cut it in half and give each one of you half of the baby. I said, could you see what he said? He said, it wasn't fair. It's only unfair to a liar. One who tells the truth and walks in truth, it is fair. They trust God. You can't trust God if you're sinning. You can't trust God if you're lying. You can't trust God if you're not right with God. As one guy said, you're rubbing this cat the wrong way, preacher. I said, well, turn the cat around, because this preacher's walking in the right direction and he's not going the other way. So God is setting us up this morning for something from him. I can feel it. It's already building tremendously right here. There's not even a preaching spirit anywhere near this place. But there is a ministering spirit that is here today. And I'm going to walk very carefully, because during the service, off and on, I begin to go through pain. And this was inner pain in my spirit. And my spirit started suffering. And I knew immediately it was someone in this service that has been going through pain in their spirit, inside them, deep inside. You could call it your emotions, but it is your spirit. And your spirit is wounded and has been wounded off and on many times. Right now you're at your lowest place. You've actually given up on life and surrendered. You're just a corpse walking around. You're empty. Every day is a day of drudgery. You'd rather fall asleep than awake. You're not excited about the sun coming up. You'd rather just stay in bed and pull the covers over and hope that somehow you'll wake a different person. Well, maybe that may happen today. You may awake today out of something. God may awake you out of some slumber or some situation or something that has come against you. But you must let the Lord do it and trust him that he can do it. I cannot do anything but God will let me do. I cannot just go to somebody. I must have God tell me to do it and give me permission to do it, because he is your Lord. He's the Lord of the sinners, and he's the Lord of the saints. He's the Lord of the good, and he's the Lord of the bad. And he is totally in control here. Now, I want to show you a scripture upon which we can move from this morning. Now, please, I want you to listen to what I'm going to tell you. This morning, it is very important that I minister directly to what God wants me to do. He has spoke this to me and told me what I am to do this morning. Now, I cannot divert my energy today to producing worship in this service. I cannot do the worship for you. Sometimes I do that in a church service. There has to be praise. When God does something, there has to be something given to God immediately. Now, the money that you give unto the Lord, but the Lord doesn't use the money. He does not shop at Walmart as much as some of you believe he does. I know that there should be a steeple on that building over there because a lot of God's money goes there. You might as well enjoy this part here right now before I get mean. You better enjoy this. This is the good part. You should laugh and say, this is awesome. I'm liking this because we're going to get into something else here in a minute. And so it is that the Lord, the money that you give unto the Lord goes to the work of God. Supplies the needs of those who are laboring. There is no amount of money, I promise you, there is no amount of money. Hear me now. There is no amount of money that can be set for the office of the ministry. It's like the preacher told me when I asked this minister to marry my wife and I. And I looked at him and I was very young and very poor. Now I'm just very old and very poor. There is a difference, and God has made a difference in my life. He's let me get older. And I looked at him and I said, well, how much will it cost me? My wife is my fiance, my wife-to-be is right there. And he looks at me, what a wise man he was. I said, how much will it cost me to have your service? He said, well, how much is she worth? Honey, could you step outside just for a few minutes? I want to talk to this man from my heart. Boy, did he have me. I could not say a word. What kind of value do you put on a man of God? On your bishop? Is there any real amount of money that could pay the price of the service of God? None. So when we give, we should always give and say, not to ourselves, look what we've done. Or we give and say, wow, we're really doing this for him. We're taking care of this man. There is no amount that could ever pay for the call of God and the service of God. And the ministry is so unlike, believe me, if you're not a minister, a preacher, there's no way you can really get this revelation unless God shows it to you. You never leave your job. When you're hunting, you're still preaching. My wife tells me sometimes when I come in, because I am now in many services and at a different level in the Spirit of God and ministry than I've ever been in my life. She will tell me sometimes when I first come in, honey, yes, are you asleep? I was. Would you please quit preaching? I said, pardon me? You're preaching in your sleep. Either keep preaching and go to the couch, or quit preaching and stay in this bed. I said, but honey, I wasn't preaching. Yes, you was. Your feet were moving. No, I was asleep, hon. She said, when you start preaching in your sleep, I know, your feet start moving. I said, well, God, that's the way God wants me to do. When God moves, I move. And if he's moving in my sleep, I can't help it. Yes, but honey, I'm not a preacher. And us saints must get some sleep so we can help the preacher. Do you want me to help you? Yes. Then either go preach in the living room or wait till tomorrow morning when I get up and then we can all preach. I told you better get into this and enjoy this. There are nuggets of truth that are being dropped here this morning during this service right now. God is positioning us for a miracle. So the preacher is constantly doing and in the will of God, and at any moment he can just obey God at any time. And I really would preach for free. I don't want to tell you that, but I would. I mean, I don't want you to know that. So don't tell anybody I said that. I have preached for free. When I was called of God to preach, I was in the back of a truck, and I had taken a job, and I was working with a crew, and we were planting trees in the places where the trees had been harvested. And very few of you probably know what a dibble is. But I was working out there in the back of a truck, and the Lord, I began to really be down on myself. I said, God, you've called me. I'm praying. I'm fasting. I'm seeking you, and look where I'm at. And look where I've ended up here. And what am I going to do in my ministry? And the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm going to lead and guide you. I drove by a church, and there was a church there little white apostolic church way out from here. And the Lord said, you're going to preach there. And when you preach there, something significant is going to happen. Now here I was, just a little nothing. In my own home church, I was nothing. No preacher in the sections or anywhere around thought anything of me. I had no family in which was in the ministry to give me any help. It was just me and God. And the Lord spoke this little nugget to me. I woke up one day and the Lord spoke and said, you're to go to that church tonight and to show up and you'll preach tonight there. Well, I went there and showed up. And the preacher had already started service. He came back there and he said, are you a preacher? I said, yes, I am. And do you have a message for this service? I said, yes, I do. So come up here. I preached that night with all my heart. We had some things happen. It was, you know, I was very young. But there was a man that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost that had been backslid for many years. And I left that service, and the preacher called me a few days down the road. I don't know how many, four or five, whatever it was. He said, we are burying that man today. He was killed in a car wreck just a couple days after praying back through and getting right with God. God sent you here for that man. So it is very important that we become very sensitive to God. How important is it that the minister of God be able to obey God? You cannot pay. There's not enough money to pay for the friendship I have had here in this church. There's not enough money to pay for the fellowship I've had here. And the cost of living has gone up, but yet the cost of what we experience here has been paid for by the Lord. And what we give is just a reminder. The tithe is a reminder. It's not really giving a whole lot. It's a reminder that it all belongs to Him. Every time you give in the offering, I had someone ask me the other day, said, I noticed that you always try to give in the offering. Your evangelist, the offering's for you. I said, that makes no difference. I want to give too. I want to be a part of this too. I want to remind myself of where all this is coming from. I don't ever want to forget that. And I want to be a part of this body of Christ. This is a body ministry, and I'm not better than anybody else. And I'm a part of this, and I want to be a part, and I will try to participate as much as I can in everything. Now, let's stand one more time here this morning. And let us move into the Spirit of the Lord as God wants us to move today. Now, I need your faith to be not hinged on what we feel. In other words, we get the singers going again, and I could get to really revving up here, and I could start telling stories and healings and things and miracles and things and kind of get the goosebumps running. But that's not necessarily what we need to do today. We need the faith of the church to move into a place where we can start receiving and ministering. I want God's permission today to do His will. I want Him to help me to be able to know what He wants me to do. Let's pray together right now and ask God now as we move into a different dimension of ministry this morning in the Lord. God has sent somebody here to get something from God today. And I'm going to remind you that I won't be able to scream this morning and beg you to help me. When God does something, we need to worship Him for it. That's all the pay He gets. When you worship, you're paying your God back. You're giving to Him. Remember the lepers? Where are the nine? One came back to worship. One came back to praise God. Lord, you have broken the bands today that hold people in this service. And your mighty word has been sent here this morning, Lord, to release, to heal, and to set free. Something mightier than I am is here operating in this place. Something greater than my problem is here. Do you sense it? Do you sense God's will today and His purpose in this service? Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now while you're standing, let's read a scripture here, and then we will do what we can do here in the Lord. Matthew chapter 20. And Matthew 20 and verse number 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. Now know this. If you want greater revelation about this house, stop and get revelations about your house. Multiply it by 100 levels. You say, you're a husband, oh my God, everything falls on me. That's what the preacher feels, but 100 times that. The kingdom of God is like a householder. Oh my God, these bills are coming everywhere. 100 times. Oh my God, how do I get all these kids to get along? Yeah. Oh God, I just felt a goosebump on that one. Think about it. Look around. Look at your relationship in your house and how your house operates. Multiply it by 100. Come on, you saints. Quit being problems. Quit creating division here. Remember what you say to your kids. Now, you guys work this out. Mama can't come and tie every shoe. Come on, you saints. Learn from your own house what God's trying to do here. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyards. Oh, if I could get somebody to pick their socks up. Come on, saints. Start picking your socks up so God can do greater things. The devil wants to burden every church with all the knickknacks and all the things while greater things go undone. Our hands are so filled with common things, we cannot have the uncommon. Make room for God. Make some room today. I'm not going to worry about these things. They'll work out. What I need to do is get something from God today. I need to reach a little higher and walk a little deeper in this Holy Ghost experience. God, I feel something in the Holy Ghost here. I feel a revelation about to break loose upon this church. Huh? Are you looking at me like I'm weird? Yes, I'm weird. I'm very weird. I'm going to get weirder too. Stay standing. Every time I've heard me preach, I've had to stand. And when he had agreed with a laborer for a penny. Oh, here comes the problems. Everybody's got a different opinion about how things ought to go. I'm just going to run by that one. And he sent them into his vineyard. Already, I can sense your spirit. I'm already rubbing your spirit wrong already. All this morning. I don't like preachers that kid around. You watch out what you just said. I like preachers no matter what kind they are. Oh, we are sly today, aren't we? Watch out what you say. Somebody in the spirit that knows God is listening. Somebody that doesn't pray, you may get by what you say, but somebody's praying, they hear every word you say, and your attitude has everything to do with your altitude. God has come today to talk about some attitudes. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idly in the marketplace and said to them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. Wouldn't it be great if the Holy Ghost would move in this church in the next 10 days to where Brother Surety would just be in the office empty, nothing to do? Where are the problems? Please check my schedule. Is something wrong here? No one's coming in the door. I've got nothing to do. I go to pray for the sick and somebody's already prayed for them. My. After church, you mean I can just literally just go out and enjoy the fellowship of what God has done? Where are the people? What's going on here? It's possible to live that kind of way to where God begins to work mightily in our households. Well, he might even be able to spend some time with his wife and see how beautiful and wonderful she is. Oh, I got a revelation. I'm getting a cake or something this week. Just think how wonderful it'd be if people would just work things out and free our families up. Now, you have to admit with me that most of the stuff that binds us are the little nitpicky little stuff. that if we'll let God, he'll take care of it. Now let me hurry on, because you've done real good so far. I'm detecting good spirits here. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. In about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. Now, these people were not bad people. They just had not been hired. And said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They said unto him, because no man hath hired us. They were ready to go to work. I want to find somebody ready to go to work today. How many do we have in the house that are ready to go to work? I want to find those who are idle that want to go to work. Don't be ashamed to want this. I want to be a preacher. Oh, my God. That's another one of those things in Pentecost. Oh, my God, don't you. Come here. I'm slapping you right now in Jesus' name. No. The Bible says to desire the office, to hunger after spiritual gifts. I'm tired in Pentecost of people telling me, because the Word of God says hunger after them. You know, I was a Baptist. I was a Catholic. You Pentecostals are the ones that told me I could have this. Why do you tell me I can have it and now I can't have it? And they said unto him, because no man hath hired us. Verse number 8. So when eve was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his servant, call the laborers, give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, they that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. That was the going wages. And don't think, you that are visitors and are not students of the Bible, don't think the Lord is being chintzy. That was the measure that day. That was the going union price. But when the first came, verse 10, they supposed, here's a word, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured, here's another one, another attitude, against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us. Well, how dare you, Brother Winslow, think that you can be as anointed as some of these other preachers? How dare some of you saints walk in here and think you have the right to worship God that way and be used of God? Or as one man said, he went to the bathroom, and while he was gone, somebody else gave the message in tongues, and he came and got mad and said, wait a minute, that's my job. I told him, I said, well, you better learn how to hold your bladder. Because this scripture says, he that holdeth his bladder shall prophesy. But he that leaveth the building, somebody else is going to do this. I don't know if I have it or I've lost it. I don't know where I'm at now. Help me, Lord. Brother Shirley's getting worried now about me. Oh, God, Jesus, help him. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. Now, bear with me, fix to be seated. But when the first came, they supposed, verse 11, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour. You've made them equal with us. Now, that's where I want to get. I want to be equal with the apostles. Which they had borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? If you accept less, you'll get less. Well, you got that healing. Do you want more? Oh, that's enough. How stupid. Or to sit in the pew and say, well, I'm not that bad off. Let God touch somebody real bad. Okay, that's all you're going to get. Whatever you came for today is what you're going to get. What did you come for? What do you want? You're making a deal today with God. What kind of deal do you want? You want to renegotiate? It's all right. Lord, I changed my mind. I want more. The Word of God's telling me I can have this. Why am I sitting around here like an idiot accepting less? If you start accepting less, the next thing you know, attitude starts springing up. I've told you this morning, if you get busy finding what God wants you to do and start doing it, you won't have time to let those things get a hold of you. Why isn't the phone ringing? When I started operating the gifts in my church I pastored, the phone grew quiet. You may be seated. I'm officially preaching now. I started ministering in the Spirit of God and really obeying God in many ways. And I could name many things that happened in our home church. It started many, 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 many ways before this way, but there was a morning in which I really saw the dividing of the waters, that God was operating in the gifts in the church through me and in the people. There was a woman there I did not know. She was a visitor. I did not know who she was. I was preaching in the middle of my preaching. God says, "You're to stop right now. You're to pray for someone with cancer." I said, "God, there's no one here with cancer." See, there's that attitude. Supposed. Now, how do you know what or what is not? God knows, not us. "Well, I think the service should have went this way today, honey. I think Brother Winslow shouldn't have been joking so much." There you go, supposing. You don't really know, do you? But you're supposing that maybe this is the way it is. I say, hush up, be quiet till God really gives you something. Then when he gives it, we're going to all judge you. Isn't it fun to sit back and watch everybody else do it and judge them and talk about them? And, oh, my God, didn't they sound funny trying to sing that song? Well, Brother Winslow, didn't he look funny up there trying to make that face and be like that? It's so easy to judge everybody. But to get something from God is different. Hallelujah. And so these attitudes begin to grip these people. They supposed. What the Lord was really saying is, look, didn't we agree with this? You could have asked for more, but you didn't. Why didn't you ask for more? What's got you stuck where you are? What's got you just accepting what you are accepting? And it's not what God wants. It's just enough. It's just what you want. Oh, well, I just want to feel the Lord every now and then. I want to get something from, I don't want to go to hell. But why won't you ask for more? And when you sit back and you don't let God work and you don't ask for more, you don't grow. This is what the Lord told me. He said, you must be always growing. I forbid you not to grow. I said, my God, Lord, you mean the rest of my life I've got to grow? He said, everything in my kingdom grows. And if it stops growing, it dies. Oh God, I've got to be busy growing. So I'm constantly trying to perfect my life, and I'm constantly trying to grow, and I try to fight those feelings that come over me that accept things as they are. I've got to believe that there's more to be done and more that I can do for God till the day I die and I take my last breath. So if you're sitting in this church and first of all, you don't even know what you're supposed to be doing, get stirred up about that. And get hungry about what you're supposed to be doing. And if you don't know what you're supposed to do, do things you know that is all right and pleasing to God. Help somebody across the street, but don't get run over. Go to somebody's house and take some groceries over there. Somebody's going through it, go by and lift them up and undergird them. Every single service, when I was under a pastor, I waited patiently till he got through. Sometimes I only got one little thank you for the message. I really enjoyed it. You blessed me. Thank you. I'm praying for you. Sometimes that's all the time that was given to me. If I could stop the man of God long enough to let him know what that message really meant to me, I'd give it to him. I knew time was of the essence. His time is important, and I would not take up his time no more than just a few seconds. Sometimes I would just wait there, and the bishop would walk by, and I'd go, thank you for preaching to me. Then we'd leave. My wife told me in the car, she said, honey, don't you think that after 1 zillion times of telling him you appreciate the message, you don't think he knows? I said, oh, yes, he knows. But I want to make sure I know. She said, what? I said, he already knows. But I'm living in this flesh. And every day, I want myself to know how important that word of God is to me. I don't want to lose anything or one edge of any sharpness on this sword of God that God's given me. She said, but couldn't you just maybe, call him when you get home or leave a message or tell someone or write a note? We're just sitting here waiting. We could already be there in line to get the burger. I said, honey, the burger will always be there as long as you got the money. But the word of God is not something that is easily found. And I said, I will wait here patiently. To get something from God, you must kill that urge in you to always leave and have it immediately. You must learn to wait on God's time. What I'm doing this morning is I'm not killing time, but I'm getting set to God's time. Now, every preacher is conscious of time. I am more conscious. You think I'm not conscious of time? I am. I'm conscious all the time. Every time after church, I examine to see how long I preached. How long were we in church? How many did I pray for? What did I do this? I'm always looking at that, examining that, and looking to God, and letting God tutor me and teach me. But patience is the thing that you must have. Because it'll always be the flesh and the devil to make you move just before the blessing comes. Just before the healing comes. Just before the miracle takes place. And your patience possesses your soul. Everything is wrapped up in God's timing. And God, listen, I told the devil, I started tormenting the devil. He used to torment me with time all the time. And I decided I would take time and I would take the time to take time and to begin to use time to torment him. I said, devil, go ahead and fight me all you want. I'm going to live for eternity with God. I'm in no hurry. If God takes me out of here, I just step into a greater time. I'm in no hurry, devil. Fight me all you want. Let's have it out. But remember this. You're on a clock. Tick tock. I'm waiting for eternity. What are you waiting for, devil? You're going to hell for eternity. And so we pick up this spirit from the world of this. We get worked up. To get something from God, you must learn to wait. And you must utilize this and use this against the devil. Stop and think about it. Where's the frustration coming from? What if I don't get this done? If you don't get it done, so what? A few months ago, my wife said, oh my God, the garbage is everywhere. I called her on the phone. She was picking garbage up. Outside our doors are garbage cans. I said, well, what about all the other kids in the house? What are they doing? They're not picking garbage up? Well, not lately they haven't. She said, I've got to do this, and I'm supposed to do this, and I've got to read my scripture, and I've got to do this, I've got to go to a prayer meeting. I said, well, honey, forget the garbage. Let the garbage take care of itself. She said, what? It'll start stinking. That's right. Flies will come. That's right. Let the flies have the garbage. You go pray, and you go do what you're supposed to do, and if you have time, pick the garbage up. I tell my wife all the time, do what God wants first. If the house is dirty and it gets so dirty we can't walk, we'll all start picking it up. Or she told my boy the other day, she said, I'm not going to clean your room up ever again, not ever again. I don't care how high the clothes get. Oh, she was a woman of her word. I came home, I flew in, and I wanted to go in there to get something in the room. I couldn't even see the bed. Are you in here, son? Yes, I'm over here, Dad. Where? On the other side of the boxes? Yes, Dad, I'm over here. I would not dare say clean the room up, but it got so bad, so miserable in there. Finally, I walked in there and everything was clean. And my wife said, well, these garbage just keep piling up and it's going to be a mess here. I said, just let it go. God will take care of it. And there are some things we have to learn to let go and not make you men that come home and you're always on your wife about the house. I lost half the congregation. The other half just went up higher, though. Learn to make important things the most important things in your life. Don't get attitudes. God's timing, patience. You'll be surprised how you'll change. I used to be one who was just so, I was dogmatic. My wife could not be late to pick me up at the airport. I said, look, I don't care if you're at the gate or not, but when I get my baggage, you must be there. It's okay if you run a little close and you're not at the gate to walk with me. But when I get my baggage, be at the door. But God changed me. God made me realize that there's some things you have to wait on. If you want this woman, oh man of God, you're going to have to work 7 years for her. These things that are going on in this service is worth waiting on. This is worth our time. The Lord spoke to me in 96, and he said, you don't have a wife. I said, yes, I do. He said, no, you don't. I'm God, and I tell you don't. I said, God, you're not wrong, but I think I do. He said, good, I got you from saying you do to thinking you do. He said, you don't have a wife if you don't treat one right. I want you to treat your wife good. But God, I do. I give her money. He said, that's not treating her good. You give her money because you don't give yourself. She doesn't want your money. She wants you. I said, God, you might be wrong on that one. I think she wants my money. Treat her right. I went to my wife, and this was the beginning of something very powerful. I went to my wife, and he said, look at her. I said, I've looked at her many times. He said, no, you have not. Look in her eyes. So after church that night, I dismissed everybody. That usually took my time. And I walked out the door, and the kids, I sent them one way. I said, tonight me and you are going to, we even drove in different vehicles to church. I said, you're going to ride with me. What about my car? Just leave it at the church. You're riding with me. We got in the car. I turned the lights on, and I looked straight in her eyes. She looked the same direction I was looking. What is it? I said, I'm looking. What are you looking at? I'm trying to look at you. What's wrong? Is there something wrong with me? I said, no, there's nothing wrong with you. The Lord told me to look at you. Is something going to happen to me? No, I'm the Lord said to look at you, and I'm looking at you. I started noticing something. I started noticing here was a full-grown woman. Here was a woman that had went through many things and had overcome and was strong and developed and beautiful. And I was amazed at what I saw. A revelation came to me. That time had went by, and I was so hurried and so busy, I wasn't looking. We got to the restaurant, and I told her, I said, come sit by me on my side. What? Someone coming? I said, no, sit by me. She sat beside me. I said, I want to tell you something. She said, what is it? I want you to sit by me, and every time we're in, there, I have seven cars. I said, when I'm in my Bronco, we have a full seat there. I want you to sit right by me. I'm going to get a pillow, and maybe in our bucket seat, one you could try to lean over that way. I want you to sit by me. She said, okay, Brother Winslow, what have you done wrong? Honey, I've done nothing wrong. No, what is it? What do you want? Okay, you can have it. You want to buy something? What do you need? A new boat? What are you up to? I'm up to nothing. I'm looking at you, and I like what I see. And I want you to sit by me. And I want to start holding hands sometimes. Not around, you know, I don't want anybody making fun of us. But I want to see you differently. I want to see you as you are. Tell me every little thing about you. Well, this was really against the grain. Us men, we have one or two word syllables we use when we come in from work. Women want to talk. Men just want to grunt. How'd your day go? I don't know what I'm doing. God help me. What am I doing? I've taken 45 minutes here, and I don't know what I've done. But I started looking, and I started seeing my attitude. These people in this Word of God that we've read came up with five damning attitudes. And all God wanted to do was to move in their midst. All he wanted to do is be loved and worshiped. He just wanted his people to see him and to look upon him and to recognize him. It is so easy for us to walk in this building and just experience the same old feelings and the same worship and the same preaching and the same everything, and it becomes where we're just staring blankly at it and seeing it but not seeing it. And I told my wife, I said, from now on Friday nights, we're going on a date. Oh, you'll never be able to do that. No, there'll be phone calls. I said, no, there won't be phone calls. There will not be phone calls. If they are, they'll just go unanswered. What? I said, that you heard me. They're going to go unanswered. These people around here are going to learn how to pray When they can't find me, they'll have to find God. Honey, they might find another church. Well, if that's what it is, then good. If they want a preacher that's going to be neglecting their family and neglecting the things that are important in life, then so be it. But I'm going to live this thing the way it's supposed to be lived. God's talking to me, and I'm seeing my own faults and my failures. And so these people have these attitudes. One, they suppose things. You take for granted the things of God. God wants you to talk to Him, and He wants to talk to you. Number two, they limit it. They were in a spirit of limiting each other. I don't want anybody getting ahead of me. I don't want someone to do it better than I do. We limit each other. The next thing was there was resentment. If God began to bless somebody else, they begin to resent. And then there was fifth, complaining. God, we pray God use us. He starts using us and we start complaining. One of the most dangerous things there is in the church is to start doing something around the church. Because as soon as you start doing it, at first you're excited, but then you start looking and see who's not doing it. And you start getting mad at the ones who are not doing it, and all of a sudden you're the only one doing it. Do you think that's what God wanted out of you? When you said, Lord, here I am, use me. Here I am, God, take my life. And all of a sudden He starts taking it and using it. And the next thing you know, in the end, you start complaining. It's like this. You get a job and you love that job. You wanted that job so desperately. And you got it. And now that you've been working there a long time, you complain about it. You talk about it. The money's not enough. You don't like the conditions. You don't like the people. But when you first came to that job, you loved that job. You appreciated it. And you desired it. Now bring that to the level of the house of God.